This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
By vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No, I don't think that. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, a Wednesday edition here on ESPN Radio. Glad to have you along with us on this different Wednesday in the national world of sports. You're going to have that unique Baltimore White Sox game this afternoon.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
The postseason going on here in the area for baseball and softball for GPAC and MIAA. Got a nice Husker wins last night against Creighton. We're going to talk with Taylor Fish, Nebraska starting catcher last night. Kearney grad is going to join us on the Doug and Daddy Show. And we will also be talking here in just a few minutes with Rick Squires, a little volleyball.
Yeah.
Okay, on our Loper Link.
You kind of mentioned it earlier. What a weird day. Imagine being the PA announcer at Baltimore today for that game. Because I'm sure they have – the rule is you're an official at-bat as soon as they're announced. So you probably have to go through the process of actually announcing batters. But to whom? Because no one's there. It's just people in the press box and the ones in the dugouts. It's a weird deal. The whole situation's strange.
So they'll get that played, and then instead of playing at home against Tampa Bay, they will go down to Tampa Bay. We've got Storm hockey tonight. I'll say it again at the end. I'll say it right now about Storm hockey. Okay, if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you know I'm not a hockey fan. I'm coming around, but I don't know all the particulars. You're the hockey guy. I don't care if the Storm is a hockey team, the Husker football team, the men's basketball team at UNK. As a sports fan, to be able to have an opportunity, because folks, unless I'm missing something, sporting-wise, there ain't nothing going on in the area tonight.
No.
So that's what you got there.
That's a big deal. They go up 2-0. That means they got to lose 3 in a row. They have a better record. And again, the Stampede and them have played tight all year long. It could happen. But, boy, you really take the chance of playing for the Ultimate Cup. You take that opportunity right by the throat if they can win tonight.
If things go extremely well for the Storm, they have 2 more home games this season. If they go disastrous, they don't play at home again after tonight. What I'm saying is, you thrive, you go to a game, you go to a Husker game, and the tunnel walk comes on, and the intro comes on, and the guys come out of the stadium, and anymore, that gets you as jacked as almost anything that's going on the field. It's the atmosphere, it's the opportunity to root for your team, and in this case, to root for a team that hasn't been in this position in over a decade, an opportunity to watch the kids come out, and that's what they are, young men, kids, some of them still in high school, come out, and you listen to Thunderstruck, and you listen to Riding the Storm out, and you got the music blaring, you got the horns going off, and you got an opportunity to root for a team that's playing well to win a game tonight, to go up 2-0. And if it doesn't, it's 1-1, but you know, you've got that opportunity to cheer on a team. I don't care if it's the Storm, the Huskers, UNK, the Kansas City Royals,
the Danger, whatever.
You know, whoever it is you're rooting for, this is a opportunity that doesn't come around all the time. You've got a chance right here in your backyard to go watch Storm hockey tonight. 7:05. Hope you can make it out. And if you can't, or if you're going, take the headset and tune into the Breeze 94.5.
Jared does a wonderful job with that. It's also a great thing to listen to on the way to, if you're getting there kind of late, or especially listening to it on the way out of there. But hopefully you'll stick around for a little bit of celebration after the salute to the fans at the end of the game tonight.
So there you go. Enjoy it tonight. And part of our Loper Link today, brought to you by Charter West National Bank. Kearney, you have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today. Plenty of going on with the Lopers. As we said, it's a lot of spring, but football and volleyball have also been going through their spring workouts. And the head coach at UNK is Rick Squires. He joins us, Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter, on this Wednesday morning. Happy 29th day of April, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Very good. Spring is kind of wrapped up for us, and we're kind of tying up some loose ends here, meeting with some players this week. But March and April are usually pretty busy around here, and we're going all directions with recruiting and spring volleyball and running some club tournaments and fundraising and all that kind of stuff. So we get to catch our breath here, hopefully, in the month of May.
It was probably a little bit unusually busy for you, Rick. I mean, there was a lot of change, a lot of turnover in just the last few weeks. Kind of talk about how that kind of evolved and changed on you.
Yeah, I mean, we had one of those off seasons that was kind of atypical for us. We had a number of players who, some of them who had received some pretty significant playing time, decide to either discontinue playing volleyball, or a couple of them are going on to some schools a little bit closer to home. So you're never quite prepared for those things, especially when recruiting occurs as early as it does these days. You kind of think you've got a roster set, and then all of a sudden you're trying to do some late recruiting in the spring for the upcoming fall, and that's a tough spot to be in, and definitely kind of put us in scramble mode. And we have flown more people in and visited more tournaments and made more phone calls and investigated more transfers than ever before. And I think that, at least at this stage of the game, we've been able to shore some things up and deal with some of those vacancies on the roster about as well as we could have hoped for. Still kind of doing a little bit of that right now, but we definitely feel a lot better about things than we did in February, and we've got a roster that I think will be competitive as it sits, and if we could add one more piece, we might be kind of back in that reloading phase where we like to be.
Loper volleyball coach Rick Squires with us on our Loper Link. With all of that going on, how did that affect what you were able to accomplish this spring on the court?
Well, I think we accomplished a lot considering. The other factor that kind of made things a little bit more difficult was we had three starters who were on surgery rehab, so we didn't have a lot of healthy bodies in the gym. We had typically six or seven on a given day, and then we brought in some graduated seniors or even some players who graduated last year who were still here working on their degrees. So depending on the day, we had kind of a mix of current players and former players, and so a lot of times we had 10 or 11, sometimes we had 12 so we could scrimmage, but all those things considered, our girls did a great job this spring. We got a lot of reps. We still got to play three competition dates, and some people got to demonstrate what they're capable of and maybe improve their status on the roster. So I think, again, considering what we had to deal with, it was a positive spring. And, the next step now is getting Bailey Sokolowski and Kelly Carver and Tara Ziegelbein healthy, as they were all, at least at one point or another, starters last year. So if we can get them healthy over the course of the summer and mix in some of the newcomers and some of the development we saw this spring, then hopefully we'll hit the ground running.
Rick, to me, it is a little interesting that you got some JUCO players coming in. How do you see how they're going to fit into the program, and also the ones who'll be freshmen coming in as well? Are there some of those guys, obviously the JUCO players, you would think would probably see some time this fall?
Yeah, I think the general philosophy of anyone recruiting junior college players is that you've got to think they're going to help you immediately. And so I think we found, too, that have the kind of background and experience and talent to be able to come into a high-level Division II and make a contribution. Certainly Skylar Erickson, who we were well aware of coming out of high school and maybe didn't quite have the need for her position at the time, and she's kind of in that borderline size range where you're never quite sure if they're going to translate to what they've done in the high school ranks to the college level. But certainly improved her status. Central Community College, two-time first-team All-American, played on some unbelievable teams, was her team's go-to player, and she's kind of one of those volleyball warriors that takes that approach to, just tell me I can't do something and I'll prove you wrong. And so we were able to get her on board, and we're excited about that. She's also a very good passer and defender. The other gal, Brianna Pontius, played against Central Community College a few times over the course of her career. She is a little bigger than Skylar, probably plays a little higher and can play both left and right. She was one of those she had a previous relationship with MJ Massenet and her sister Allie Massenet, being a Kansas girl, and so they kind of informed us about her situation. We brought her up and actually had her on campus for a workout, and she kind of won her job right there, so we're excited to see what she can do. Maybe not as experienced in the back row as the Skyler, but still a functional back row player and a great athlete. So we're hopeful there. You know, some of the other freshmen we like, certainly Morgan Studi is somebody who's got a skill set that might translate to some early success here, as does Ellie McDonald out of Papillion La Vista, who's had a great club season. Both of those are back row players. Lindsey Smith, kind of our headliner, incoming setter, who's going to make some noise and push Erin Seeley, even though she's a senior. And then a little bit of firepower, certainly from Kendall Schroer, who's had a good club season as well. So a lot of newcomers, a lot of new faces. And like I said, could be one more. Still kind of maybe looking for another weapon. And there's still some out there, believe it or not. So we'll keep plugging away and hopefully be all done here. And really, we should be kind of wrapping up 2016 and trying to get to that point, too.
Loper volleyball coach Rick Squires with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. We just went through all this last week with Coach Cook as far as a volleyball. We've been going through this chat in sports talk in the state of Nebraska, and I guess everywhere for a little time now, about all these transfers. So, A, you got a lot of kids transfer. You've got 8 kids, possibly, as you said, a 9th that'll all be new to the program. Are you going to be in the same boat with trying to keep everybody happy?
Well, that's a good question. I think you don't want to create a pattern where you've got a revolving door. And it seems like that is more prevalent than it's ever been. Players are less likely to sit behind somebody or play on a part-time basis. And so for whatever reason, I think across the board, we've kind of dodged it for a number of years. And I've watched other programs kind of go through that. And now we're seeing it a little bit more in the sport of volleyball, not just here, but other places as well. And so it's not something you want to deal with. I would much rather bring players in who are familiar with our program. I think that's where you like to have as many local players as you can. And because they are familiar with UNK and Loper volleyball, their mentality of coming in and developing is probably a little more likely than somebody from out of state. So we're trying to balance those things and hopefully be in a situation where we have, a big squad to work with next spring. And that's part of the reason we looked at the junior college route is that it'll give us a few more upperclassmen and give us maybe a little bit better balance on the roster. So challenging times, to say the least, trying to put a roster together every year. And sometimes you end up, with your own version of one and done that I don't think that any of us want to deal with every year. So we'll coach the girls we have and keep learning as we go through each year, and hopefully we'll continue the great tradition we've had in the past.
Rick, we've talked often about just how tough the regional that you're in, how that looks, and if you guys want to host that probably the toughest regional in the country that might even be tougher than the national tournament itself, if you want to do that, you almost have to go undefeated. And to me, it seems like that puts you between a rock and a hard place because you have to always build that stellar team. And to do that, you might have to keep people around to their fourth year before they really see some action. But yet you have players that don't necessarily want to wait that long. Are you being caught between a rock and a hard place?
Well, there's no question that for a number of reasons, things are more difficult than they used to be. Some of that is the explosion of club volleyball in the Minneapolis Twin Cities area, just on sheer population base. Some of the Minnesota schools who are in the Northern Sun Conference, they just have access to more physical talent than some of us who are out here in the West. Now, certainly Nebraska volleyball has been very good. We've been able to benefit from that over the years, and I think we still will be able to do so. But I think it's, you know, there's been a decline in population in the western part of the state. And so we've got to really work hard to keep the Nebraska talent in the state while a number of Division I schools are in here kind of looking around, and they're aware of the talent in Nebraska. So, yeah, I mean, there's just no doubt that things are difficult now, you know, if we're going to continue to be a player on the national scene, then we have to get, you know, all of the Nebraska talent that we can attract, and then we're still going to have to find a player or two out of Colorado or Kansas and or anywhere else that works out for us. And so, you know, we might have to do it a little bit differently without kind of losing some of the core principles that have helped us over the years. And yeah, you hope that you can put together a team that evolves and develops and gives you a chance to compete. And we've done that. I mean, we've been knocking on the door for, you know, the last several years, and it's not easy for anybody in this region. And so every year, three, four, five teams who are ranked in the top 10 get bumped in the first or second round, you hope you can break through one of these years, and you know that if you do that, then you got an inside track to the national championship.
Last minute here with UNK volleyball coach Rick Squires. Fans, just kind of wrap your head around this. Since Coach Squires took over the program, his teams, and this is 99, his teams are 507-72. That's almost Geno Auriemma-like. I guess, Rick, I don't know if it's tongue-in-cheek or not, but we talked about this off-air. That ceiling is so high, yet the Loper coaches, players are bumping their head because they can't get back to the Elite Eight. And I have to ask you, how do you avoid from getting frustrated? You can be in the top four. You can be 28-2 or 3 or whatever it is as you get ready for the NCAAs, but you know you're playing a national championship match. And as Randy alluded to, it's almost like the first five matches of the year, every match is a must if you want to get to the place you want to be, which it is not like outside of this region.
Well, there's no question we do get frustrated. And, you know, about the only solace is there are a number of other coaches in the region who are equally frustrated. I mean, I think of our program who we've had some tremendous teams over the years. And, you know, I think about a team, especially our first year in the MIAA, when Jenna Rose was a senior, we had a team capable of winning a national championship. And we had to play, I think, three teams in the top five just to get to the Elite Eight. And we weren't able to finish it off and get there. So it's frustrating, but it's, you know, equally frustrating for Minnesota Duluth, who's had some unbelievable teams and hasn't been able to crack through. Wayne State's had some excellent teams. Southwest Minnesota State finally got through this year, made it all the way to the finals. And so, you know, it is what it is. We complain about it every now and then. We know that's probably not going to help. If there were some realignment or some consideration to balance the power, so to speak, it would certainly be refreshing. You know, it's one of those things you can't do a whole lot about it. So you go out and do the best you can. And, you know, I think, you know, we've never made the end result be the only thing that we concern ourselves with. I mean, we want to give our players a great experience to put a competitive team on the floor and give ourselves a chance. And I think we've done that. I think if you do that enough, then you'll get through. And, you know, hopefully we'll find a solution to kind of break through the central region and put ourselves in a chance to play some quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals again, which is where we want to be.
That's what makes makes it even sweeter when you reach that, the work that it takes to get there. So, Coach, always appreciate chatting. I think we chatted more big picture than actual volleyball because, as you said, it's kind of hard to diagnose what kind of team you're going to have with all these new players. But I'll tell you what, for the folks that haven't seen Skylar Erickson play, Holy moly. That's all we'll say about that. Rick, thanks for the time, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
We'll see you. Rick Squires, UNK volleyball coach here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I mean, this is a gal that played Class D ball, but I mean...
Good athletes, regardless of what class. She just absolutely dominated, though. I mean,
Jared Hastings wins four events over at the track Central Nebraska Track Championship at Giltner. Okay, so you know they're there. There's no doubt about it. I'm telling you, and even at these community college level, when you're JUCO All-American, we know that these teams in Nebraska have been outstanding. Heck, they're kind of in the same place. We know that Western Community College and you know Columbus and some of the stuff that's been going on in Wyoming over the years, how good they are.
Yeah, and it's a great resource to be able to have because I think they're going to have to do. I think they're going to have to tap into the JUCO route maybe a little bit more, get maybe some late bloomers that really can kind of step up and play immediately because it's got to be frustrating as a player, too. And again, before the NCAA fixes this system that is kind of a joke, and I understand that you're somewhat tied by geography, but that doesn't mean you can't break this up and have it. And the Northern Sun goes in one region, and the RMAC teams, which are pretty good, goes in another, or take half of them. You know, take half of them. One regional is in Kansas City. The other regional is in the Denver area, what have you. Yeah, that's not undoable. You can do that. You can make that happen. They would drive a little bit further to really balance things out. I understand you want to do a little bit of geography here, but you can have them drive a little ways to make this happen. Take half the teams from those regions and put them in a different region. Not all the time, but actually take a look at it and try to balance the scales a little bit.
Well, and over the decade that we've been doing this show, there's probably just two or three things that I have still never understood.
No, it makes no sense.
One of them is how the NCAA doesn't see the error here.
Well, they don't look. That's why they don't see it. Just, they're not paying attention.
It's inexplainable how people aren't held accountable. And then, of course, when you DQ cross-country runners for doing cartwheels across the finish line, that's another one I could never understand.
Yeah.
So that's a couple of them.
Well, that's a couple of them.
Hey, other UNK notes. The tennis teams have both made it into the national tournament. As we kind of figured with at-large berths, the men finished second, the women fourth at the MIAA tournament. Now, they both have to play Northwest Missouri State. So it's an MIAA team that they've seen plenty of times, that they saw in the conference tournament. For the men, they're the second seed. Northwest Missouri State will host Tuesday, May 5th. And then for the women, they're the sixth seed in a seven-team regional, and they'll play Northwest Missouri State at Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and that will be on Sunday. If they can advance on, then they're all headed to Arizona for the Sweet 16. So best of luck there to the UNK tennis teams. As we said, Marissa Bongers, the MIAA Track Athlete of the Week. She was second at the Drake Relays, the only Division II runner in the field. Broke her own school record in the 800. She finished second, by the way, by a tenth of a second in that race. Anna Summers is headed to the Women's Golf Central Regional in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, May 3rd through the 5th. As a freshman, she finished in a tie for 28th in that same regional, which was held at St. Joseph, Missouri. The UNK football team had their spring game on Saturday and ran.
Saw some big plays. You saw some nice hits defensively and a lot of speed at the wide receiver position. That Cooker Williams is pretty darn good. He's going to be. And Dalton Seeley had a nice long play. You know, when you watch a scrimmage like that, you take good and you take bad. I mean, if there's a big play, was it the defense breakdown or whatever? But for the most part, I thought the defense was right where they needed to be. There was just a lot of nice offensive weapons on the field as well. I thought there was a lot of positive things I saw.
Every coach structures their own spring practice, and for the first time, the Huskers really actually played a game. How much of it resembled a game as far as what they did with the contact with the quarterbacks and some of the other things? Well, they didn't have special teams.
They kicked extra points and that sort of thing, but they didn't have kickoffs. They did punt, so they had that element of the game. Scoring was a little bit different because the offense was always on offense. It wasn't like there was a white team where half the offensive players were on and the other half were on. So the offense was always the offense. Defense was always the defense. Defense got points for a stop. There was a pick six defensively that I think they gave him credit for on the scoreboard. So it was a little unusual in that regard in terms of the scoring system that they had for the defense. Offensive scoring system was whether or not you scored. So it kind of boiled down to that. But they didn't necessarily bring everybody down to the ground. The quarterback was, it was kind of a flag football game for the quarterback, which makes sense. But for the most part, it was played like you'd play a game.
Well, another area kid that got, Tyler Schnitzler got to do some things in this football game, yeah, out of Kennesaw, and maybe his first spark. We talked about the area kids that got to see some playing time for the Huskers. Well, Tyler maybe got to open some eyes there a little bit.
Yeah, and Trey Anderson had a nice game for somebody that was local. There was a few other local kids in there on the offensive defensive lines that you don't hear their name on the PA as much, but I thought they played pretty well. I think there's some talent there and a lot of talent coming in. I really like the direction that the spring game had to show.
Brandon Landegger reached 200 career hits in the weekend series with Washburn, but the Lopers went 1-3, and now they head to Central Missouri to play a best-of-3 MIAA postseason series. If they win that, they're on to Kansas City the next weekend. It starts tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and of course, we talked all about that yesterday with Damon Day. If you missed any of that, you can go to our podcast at ESPNSuperStation.com. And, you know, a good writing, good article by kind of a two-part series for Connor Gary in the Kearney Hub about Gabby Gracia from Holdridge and the struggle she's been going through in her track and cross country short career here, where she was so great, has kind of a, I don't know, for lack of a better term, an illness that they can't define, and it looks like maybe she's starting to come out on the other side of that. So that, neat, if you get a chance, go to kearneyhub.com and read that.
Yeah, you love to see. And that, you know, we talk so much about, you know, you and I are blessed to watch championship games and championship level, and we really get to cover that. It is great to see people overcome the adversities and the difficulties that are put in front of them, regardless of how those look like, and having the courage to keep battling through some things when you have obstacles placed in front of your way, and she's a great example of that.
That's our Looper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at Chatterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Chatterwest National Bank. When we come back, we'll talk with one of those local athletes in Taylor Fish, starting catcher for Nebraska last night, and had a big hit. A couple of them had a big hit and then had a nice
sacrifice,
RBI,
yeah, yeah,
in the ninth inning that proved to be the game winner. We'll talk with him after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C. NMC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 71. Tonight, clear skies with a low near 43. For Thursday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 76, and Thursday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Currently, it's 61.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you on today's program. And if you're looking for a little lunch, a little entertainment, just to watch your favorite sporting events, or of course now with the beautiful weather, Cunningham's is the place to be. The Courtyard rocking and rolling all summer long. And not just from the music. You get great drink specials. You can get that fruity stuff that you like. You put the little umbrella. They may not put the little umbrella on all of them, but you can get some great drinks and enjoy great food, whether you're out in the courtyard or whether you're in the loft or right there on the main floor at Cunningham's, and enjoy your favorite sporting activities, where I watched the Nebraska-Creighton game last night. Had myself a little pizza there last night. All went well. And always pretty darn good.
They grill, service, yeah. They'll grill right there out there in the courtyard when the time comes. And we're getting pretty close to that time.
Open at 11 daily, and you can play pool and foosball if you'd like. And, of course, lunch and dinner, they're there to serve you food all day long. And nationally touring live entertainment every weekend. It's good stuff. They get the, you know, how do you get people on Wednesday and Thursday night? Well, you know, that's what they do. Yeah. That's what Mike and Yusuf and the gang do at Cunningham.
We need to play foosball.
I would lose. Open 7 days
a week.
Yes,
you would, because I'm pretty good at foosball. I'm not as good as the really good guys, though.
Here's the
I'm
deal.
Not that good.
But. All the people that went to college in the 70s are good at foosball.
Actually, I learned foosball in high school. Yeah. We had a foosball table in our little area you could kind of hang out with as students. And the best foosball player besides me in our class, her name was Lisa Malik, and whenever we teamed up, Lisa and I, she was good.
Yeah, that was before after prom parties. That's all I'm saying there. Taylor Fish joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. The Big Red sweeping Creighton for the first time since 2008 last night. Taylor, good morning. You ever played foosball? You any good at it?
No, I was laughing when you guys were talking about that because I am awful at foosball.
You can't spin the guys or they yell at you.
Oh, that's cheating. That's wrong.
Stupid rule, huh?
Definitely cheating. Well, hey, congratulations on playing well last night at the plate.
Thank you.
And I just told everybody the sun was in your eyes in the fourth inning.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a good team win, and just being able to win games like that, in the eighth, ninth inning, it's huge for a team like us, especially when we've been struggling the past couple of weeks. So it's good to see, and we'll hopefully keep it going this weekend.
A lot of times, Taylor, there's not a tremendous amount of energy for those Tuesday games. I don't think that's probably the case when you and Creighton get together.
No, at the beginning of the season, we all sat down as a team, and we wrote down our team goals, and one of our goals was dominate the midweek games. That's kind of what's killed us in the past, and I think someone told me this morning that we only lost one midweek this year, so that's huge for us. And like you said, Creighton's a big in-state rival, so, I mean, it's a huge game for us, being a big rival with Creighton, and it's easy to get up for, I can tell you that. So.
Now, Darren Erstad said in his post-game comments last night that he was worried because he thought the team was flat during batting practice. Is that something a player can sense? Could you sense that? Can you sense when you're up or down in batting practice?
Yeah, you can sense that a little bit. I mean, just looking at the guys in the locker room, it's more of a business-like yesterday. And, I mean, some days guys come to the yard all pumped up, ready to play, and some days guys come and have more of a business-like to them, and where they're ready to play as well, which it just determines like who you are, and so I mean it's easy to tell, but as long as we're ready to play when that first pitch is thrown, it's good.
You guys scored in five innings last night, and you were in the middle of three of those five innings in terms of scoring. You had the RBI single. You had a big sacrifice bunt that advanced him over. Nice bunt, by the way. And then, obviously, the ground out that drove in what turned out to be the game-winning run. When you're up to bat, are you kind of given that mission? Are you obviously, with the sacrifice bunt, that's what you were called on to do. But what is kind of your mindset based on the situation, what you're going to be doing at the plate?
I'm a guy who's not going to put up huge numbers power wise, so I got to stick to my approach, hit the ball where the ball's pitched and stick to the middle of the field and then execute when called upon. I had guys on first and second with no outs. Yes, last night I knew I was gonna have to bunt, so executing in the game of baseball is a lot about attitude. Just go up there with the mindset that you're gonna beat the pitcher and just get the job done.
Taylor Fish, Kearney graduate, Nebraska catcher, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Got the start last night and eventually had the last RBI, which ended up being the game winner. And, of course, Taylor was asked to kind of safety squeeze the first time he was up there and followed that up by ripping one into center for an RBI single in the very next pitch. Taylor, throughout the broadcast last night, they were talking about Tanner Lubach having a concussion. Is this a long-lasting thing? Will we see you have to be called into action this weekend, or do we know yet?
I think Tanner's all right. He passed all the concussion tests, so hopefully he will be back this weekend. But I will be ready if my name's called upon, and I'll go through practice this week as if I'm the guy starting this weekend. So hopefully Tanner's all right. You never like to see a guy like that get hurt. I mean, he puts in a ton of time, a lot of work into it, so you hate to see that. But I think Tanner will be all right.
How do you keep yourself prepared? Because, again, you don't necessarily last night was your ninth start of the season. How do you mentally keep yourself focused? Because you're one collision away from having to be the catcher for the rest of the game.
Right. I mean, you just got to practice like you play. I mean, show up to the yard every day like you're the guy in there. And even when you're not playing, you got to be mentally there, because like you said, one play away and you could be in the next pitch, and you just got to be prepared for that. And so yeah, just show up to the yard and be ready to play every day.
What was the meeting on the mound when Josh ran into trouble in the ninth inning last night? What was said? What happened?
Just, hey, you have good enough stuff to get these guys out. I mean, I think it was guy on third with one out, and he got the guy to roll over on a fastball inside, which was a great pitch, three spot for us. It's tough for pitchers to get the ball in there, but he made executed a pitch and gets two outs. And then, I mean, Josh has good enough stuff to end a game like that with a strikeout, which he did, and it's just good to see Josh execute like that.
It seems to me, you know, a lot of people look at that and say, well, that isn't the starting catcher out there having that kind of conversation with him. But you work with all those pitchers enough in practice that you still have a great sense of when they have their stuff and what they need to be doing out there, right?
Oh, yeah. You can definitely tell when they have their stuff that day or not. And, I mean, being around them in the locker room, you know the type of person they are. If you have to go out there and kind of get on them a little bit or kind of push them along with, hey, come on, you got to get on top of the ball here. But, yeah, I mean, I work with all these guys in the bullpen and stuff, too, so I know their tendencies pretty well.
We're talking with Kearney grad and Nebraska catcher Taylor Fish. One more baseball question, or maybe two here for you, Taylor. Has your role changed at all this year? I know last year, because of the injury, you had to get in there and maybe play a little bit more. Since that hasn't happened, maybe you haven't had as many appearances this year. Are you okay with the way things are going this year?
Yeah, I mean, the team's clicking right now. I mean, I can't be upset about Tanner Lubach starting ahead of me. I mean, the kid puts in tons of work, and he deserves it. But that doesn't mean I'm not putting in the work either. I'm his backup. I'm there to be ready to go into those games, and I'm ready to catch the midweek games when he needs a rest or whatever. I'm just trying to do whatever I can do to help the team out and get as many wins as possible.
Couple minutes left here with Taylor Fish. I heard that you must have done some winding down this morning and went bowling, because I heard you got a turkey.
Yep, I did. Me and Christian Cox went out, and I cheated this morning and used a shotgun. Usually I take my bow out there, but...
I hear that you're trying to get a few more of your teammates out there. What's that like, relaxing some of these guys? And where do you take them? Where do you hunt? You bring them back home? I know you didn't do that today, but have you taken them out to the real hunting grounds?
I brought a couple guys back to Kearney, but today, I mean, we just have a few spots around Lincoln, a few public spots, and then I got permission just north of town on a piece of ground that the guy let me turkey hunt on, so... just getting my teammates out there, it builds chemistry, and it's just a good time to have everyone out in the woods.
I get to wear my former teacher hat here, Taylor, a little bit. How's class going? You know, you've been in Lincoln for 4 years. Are we graduating in May, or where are we at? What are you studying? Give me an update.
School's going good right now. I redshirted my freshman year,
right.
So I will graduate next May. And then I switched my major late. I'm a mathematics major now. I'm not sure exactly what I'll do with that. right now the plan is to go into medical sales maybe, but classes are going well right now, winding down, and finals week is next week, so I just got to grind out the next couple of weeks and get my studying in and finish strong.
My sources say that you have acquired an internship this summer.
Yep, I have with Stryker Medical Sales, so I'm looking forward to that opportunity and hopefully expanding my knowledge in orthopedics.
Now, will baseball then not be part of your summer? I mean, they try to send all the guys to be playing in leagues. You've been, was it Alaska last year? Canada? Where the heck were you? Are you going to be playing anymore this summer?
This summer, nope. I'll be in Lincoln doing an internship and taking a class. They're giving me the summer off since I've played the past few summers. I was in Canada last summer and San Diego and Kansas in the two summers before that. So I've had quite the summer ball experience, and I actually had the opportunity to go up to Alaska this summer, which is hard for me to turn down, but I figured I'd better stay in Lincoln and try to make some money and take a class. So.
And, I mean, that's summer ball. Let's face it. They jam all that basically into a month, maybe 6 weeks worth of time. Did you get to do anything? I mean, Canada, that's hunting ground, brother. Did you get to do anything besides play baseball?
Oh, yeah. I went up there with my good buddy Dylan Schroeder from Kearney, and I joke around with people a lot saying we went up there fishing and played a little baseball on the side. We definitely got our fishing in up there.
Well, that's good stuff. Last minute here. Taylor Fish, anything else, Randy?
I'm just glad things are going well for you, Taylor. You know, we're just worried about your education. That's, you know, we're just got to keep an eye
that.
On it. Hey, no problem, man.
Well, so conversely, you're trying to get some of these guys out to hunt. Are any of the other guys taking you to do anything that you haven't experienced maybe in your life that is something they can teach you?
Not that I can think of, no. I mean, in our free time, we like to go play pool and hang out as a team and just whenever we have free time, just get together and hang out and play darts or whatever it is, play card games, stuff like that. But I can't really think of anything on top of the head that I haven't done that they're trying to get me into.
Foosball. You need a little foosball.
No. Foosball, yeah. I'll pass on that.
Taylor, we had Jake Schleppenbaugh on Monday, which is obviously the reason he went 3-for-4 last night and was a stud. So we're going to expect the same from you at your next appearance. But give us a sense. We're not in that locker room. We're not a Nebraska baseball player. We know what's ahead of you guys and what needs to be done to make the postseason. What's Coach said to you guys? How are the players handling it now after a couple of rough conference weekends?
I think we're handling it pretty well as a team. I mean, a lot of our losses have been one-run games, so we just got to figure out a way to win those games late in the game like we did last night. That's why last night was such a big team win for us. But I think we're sticking together well as a team. A lot of teams, when they're in this situation, tend to split up and play for themselves, but I think we're sticking together as a team well right now, and we just got to finish strong and go pitch by pitch and win each inning. So.
And as one of the tweeters has said here, and I concur, it seemed like they threw 100 pitchers last night. Creighton always does, but they kept trying to scouting report you low and away, a lot of breaking balls, maybe off-speed stuff, and you're down two strikes on that last plate appearance with the bases loaded, needing to get the ball in play yet avoid a double play, and he keeps moving out. That ball you hits out of the strike zone, but you did what you were supposed to do with it. Take us just through that last at-bat, would you?
Yeah, he actually fooled me a little bit. He had some good stuff. He was a sidearm guy, and it was tough for me to pick up the ball right out of his hand. But I got two strikes, and so I crowded the plate a little bit and split my stance a little bit and tried to put the ball in play, like you said. And he actually fooled me with that last pitch. I didn't see it really until the last second, and luckily I got a bat on it, and it worked out for us.
It's like my golf game. I don't see the ball till the last second either. Well, whatever the case is, here's what I'm saying to you, not to Taylor, but when you have a sidearm pitcher and you can't pick up the ball, every once in a while the bat slides out of my hands, and then they can't pick up the bat. And so we'll see what happens next. Don't ever think about that in your strategy, though, Taylor. All right, man?
That may not work.
All right, sounds good.
Hey, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the hunt and continued success with baseball, and we'll see you again soon, all right?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Taylor.
Fish, Kearney High grad, Nebraska catcher, number two catcher for the Big Red, got the start last night, came through. He went 1-for-4 last night. It lowered his batting average to 390 something or other.
Well, again, he does such a great job of hitting the ball where it's pitched. I mean, the base hit that he had that drove in one of the second run of the game. Exactly hit where it was pitched, punched it through there, the RBI that ends up being the game-winning RBI, exactly the same thing. It's on the outside. You just take that one to right field. And, again, it didn't get to right field, but they had no chance of turning a double play.
And from the Holy Crap Hall of Fame, that kid that hit the triple to start the ninth, it said 0-for-4 tonight, 3 groundouts, batting 200 for the season.
And
bang.
And then there you go.
But the Huskers find a way, and now off to Northwestern, and we are scheduled to talk with Coach Paul Stevens of Northwestern to lead off our show tomorrow live from Bandits. We are packed tomorrow on the show as well. But if you're going to be a guy that has to come in a situation like Taylor Fish, those are the special athletes out there. Yes, you've got your All-Americans, but you can't win if you don't have guys and gals like a Taylor Fish. And you can't have a successful season in your field if you don't have the right equipment out there. You're planning. You're taking all this time. You're putting the pivots in there. You're harvesting. Make sure everything's clicking, and part of that package is T&L irrigation. Find out why a T&L should be in your field. Superior reliability, safety, the simplicity of their hydraulic design, and, of course, that leads to low maintenance, which everybody loves. Just a few of the reasons you should have a T&L in your field. Find out more by contacting your local T&L dealer or go online to TLIRR.com. They will help you and answer all of your questions. They're like no other at T&L Irrigation. We've got more coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Golf season is here, and the Kearney Country Club invites you out to play. And don't forget to get signed up for the Kearney Country Club's three-person scramble, Saturday, May 2nd and Sunday, May 3rd. Your entry fee includes golf, cart, steak dinner, Calcutta, and many prizes. There's a practice round and a shootout you can sign up for as well on Friday, May 1st. Contact the Kearney Country Club at 237-2553. It's the first tournament of the year, the Kearney Country Club three-person scramble, May 2nd and 3rd. Call 237-2553 and register today.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Saturday at 6:10, come out to the Keg as the boys in blue go head-to-head with the Detroit Tigers. The first 15,000 fans in Kauffman Stadium get a Salvador Perez wild card bobblehead presented by Sport Clips. You remember the All-Stars 12th inning walk-off hit that sparked the Royals' historic playoff run. Now you can capture Salvi's game winner forever by adding this limited edition bobblehead to your collection. Grab your tickets today at Royals.com or Hy-Vee.
Relive a moment that will be forever royal.
Makes you happy. It can't be never.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling on. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget Royals baseball on Classic Hits 98.9 tonight because the Breeze has Tri-City Storm Hockey. And we have 5:10 for the baseball, 7:05 for the hockey. And Gabe fires off to the Dent Popper inbox. Well said regarding the Storm. The community has not had a hockey team this good in a long time. In fact, it's been 10 years since the Storm last made it to the Clark Cup semifinals. Doesn't matter how much you follow the sport of the Storm, you owe it to yourself and the players to go watch this team play while you still can. Go Storm! That comes from from Gabe. Thanks, Gabe.
They are fun to watch. They're spacing on the ice, how they pass the puck. They finish plays. They do play with a tremendous amount of energy. They are a lot of fun to watch. And even if they weren't in the semifinals, they still would be just an outstanding hockey team. And again, if you haven't gone, give it a shot. You're going to enjoy the playoff environment. It's a great time.
And the draft, we talked about it with Coach and Jared last time that they were in here. It's coming up next week, Monday and Tuesday, May 4th, May 5th. The draft takes place in two stages. Phase one is Monday evening, 10 rounds as teams select players from the 1999 birth year. And then they move into phase two, Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. Those will be a multi-age group. You can select players anywhere between 1995 and 1999 for their birth years. And our own Jared Schaffrin is co-hosting the USHL Draft Show. So congratulations to Jared.
There you go.
So he knows good, his good stuff.
He does.
He's on it. Hey, the Midway Auto Dealerships are ready to take care of you. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Got a chance to see Andy last night. And I said, why so late? You didn't get here until like the eighth inning of the baseball game. They're working. That's what they do for you at Midway. And right now, folks, at Midway Buick, it's the Buick Sign and Drive event happening on their entire 2015 lineup. 0% due at signing after all offers. 0% first month's payment. 0% security deposit on select Buick models. Is your current lease coming to an end? Well, you could save up to $1,500 off when you lease a new Buick or GMC at Midway. Learn more when you stop in at Midway on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway, it's a better way, and you can go online to find out a whole lot more at thinkmidway.com. Kind of a quiet night for the pros last night. We had a couple of NBA games. They were good.
I had hockey withdrawal last night.
And just one hockey game tonight, but it is a Game 7 Detroit-Tampa Bay. I think I picked Tampa Bay, so I've been rooting for them. If I didn't, I would still been rooting for them. But
yeah,
this is a series where teams are winning on the road.
Yeah.
A lot.
You know, and with hockey, you do get that a lot more than I think you get in most of the other sports. And that's what makes it so difficult to kind of pick. We were talking earlier. On. I can't decide if I want to go with the Blues or the Rangers winning it all. I should have gone Rangers instead of Blues, obviously.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and again, what I was thinking back then, and I didn't do it, was last time they won the President's Cup, did the Rangers for the best record in the regular season. They won won the Stanley Cup back in 94.
And so. You have to be a true NBA fan. I'm not making fun. I'm kind of like a Colin Cowherd here. I'd be interested to see what the viewing numbers are tonight, because here are the two games: Brooklyn, Atlanta.
Yeah.
Now, even though it's tied 2-2, and Atlanta's the number one seed, it's 2-2. It's Brooklyn, Atlanta, and Portland, Memphis.
At what time is a Portland-Memphis game? Is that out in Portland?
No, it's in Memphis.
Oh, okay. So that may not be as bad.
A little bit later.
Last night, 9:30. I mean, the game tipped off at 9:30. Mm-hmm.
Spurs-Clippers.
Yeah. And it ended up being a great game. But there's no way. You can stay out and watch that this time of year. But you run into that. I mean, if we're on the West Coast, way different deal. You know, we probably would be complaining about those games that start at 5 o'clock local time if we're out on the West Coast.
And if we, before we go into our final break here, a couple of high school notes and results from yesterday. Congratulations to your son and the Kearney Catholic Boys soccer team. It's been a tough career. When you're playing soccer, if you're playing basketball and you got 6 players on the entire team, it's tough. When you're playing football and say you're playing 8-man football and you got 11 kids out, coaches have had that too. You know how tough it is. The soccer team has been very short of numbers, and they break a 43-match losing streak yesterday, beating Grand Island Central Catholic, and then the teams will play again next week in the first round of district.
And during that stretch, there was 10 games probably that they had a shot, not saying that it came down in the final minute or whatever, but they had a legitimate shot, and they just never got rewarded for all the hard work and everything that they put in there, and finally got that reward last night. And it was actually a well-played soccer game, and the Guy Fawns teamed up on a cross and then a header that Nathan Williams made a tremendous save on in goal for Kearney Catholic that kind of sealed the deal, because they had one more good chance at it, but a great save. And you need to have, finally, something like that kind of went Kearney Catholic's way. And it'll be a great matchup when they get together back again on Monday.
And the Hastings boys, it's been a while. They clipped Kearney 2-1. Fremont beat Grand Island. Crete beat Northwest for the girls. Kearney beat Hastings 3-0. Same score for Grand Island over Fremont. And Northwest beat Crete in overtime. Kearney's Paige Bacora picked up her 100th tennis victory. She's playing a number 5 singles for Kearney High, and they swept just like Kearney Catholic did, kind of in a quad with Holdridge and McCook. Then the Central Catholic Tennis Invitational, Lincoln Pius the 10th, always a juggernaut, wins it. Central Catholic second, Grand Island Senior High third, followed by Lexington and Adams Central in the 10-team invite. Kearney Catholic Golf Invitational won yesterday by the Chanticleers of Ord, shooting a 320. They have a chance to do some damage at state this year from those in the know. Their 5 varsity golfers were in the top 7 yesterday,
wow,
led by the medalist, yeah, Brady Rogers with a 75. Matt Hansen of St. Paul was second with a 77. Callan Nickel of Elwood was 5th. And Kearney Catholic's top golfer was Jacob Maskey in 9th. St. Paul, the team runner-up, followed by Kearney Catholic, Adams Central, and Wood River. Now, the soccer district pairings came out today. Not all of them have solidified their times yet, but here are the pairings. The boys A5 will be at Norfolk. That's where Kearney High will be on Monday night, 6:30. They'll play Omaha West Side. The A6 is at Millard South. Grand Island will play Lincoln North Star in the first round. Class B, the District 8, will be at Lexington. Lexington will play Gehring at 4, Holdridge and Scottsbluff at 5:30 on Monday. And the B7 boys are at Northwest. Kearney Catholic, Central Catholic, Winner will play Northwest. Hastings will play York. For the girls, Kearney has earned the A4 district home field advantage. They will play Monday night at 7 o'clock against Lincoln High, Norfolk, and Omaha Central. On the other side of the bracket, the girls A7, Grand Island, will play Bellevue West at 8 o'clock. And that is coming up next week, 8 o'clock. We're trying to define the start time. It looks like that is a Tuesday for that one. The B7 girls are at York. Northwest plays Nebraska Lutheran. The winner gets York. Hastings plays Seward. And the Kearney Catholic girls are in the B8, and they will host at Baldwin Park the Holdridge-Gehring winner, while Scottsbluff and Lexington are on the other side.
And Holdridge-Gehring might very well play in North Platte, so they kind of meet kind of halfway in the middle, because, again, that would be somewhat unfair for Gehring if they had to come out both Monday and Tuesday if they win or whatever. And that was a nice win for the Hastings boys in soccer, because Kearney High had been pretty hot. I think they won 6 in a row coming into that that game. So that's a nice win for Holdridge.
Let's take our final break. We'll be back with the Midtown Mark Cooler question and wrap it up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Giving back to the community has never been easier. May 1st is Give Hastings Day, a 24-hour opportunity to give to your favorite nonprofit organizations through the Hastings Community Foundation. Log on to givehastings.org on Friday, May 1st, and make your donation. It's that easy. You can win bonus money for your favorite charitable causes and enjoy some friendly competition. Plus, your donation stays in the Hastings area. Shape the future of Hastings in a single day on Friday, May 1st for Give Hastings Day. Live here, give here.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Trampiag would like to wish the area graduates best of luck in their futures and congratulations on making it this far. Hard work and dedication will always pay off.
CHS Agri-Service Center would like to congratulate the graduating class of 2015, wishing them the brightest future in all that you do. You've come to a large milestone in life. Take the time to enjoy your day.
Laser Tech in Shelton is your office headquarters. Hats off to the area seniors of the class of 2015. Take the time to enjoy what you have done. Reach toward the future and never stop trying.
It's a throwback to the 70s. It's your Nebraska Danger Boogies, their way to the end zone. Saturday night, May 2nd at the Heartland Event Center. Get ready as the Nebraska Danger battles the Billings Wolves. It's 70s night. So break out the big bells, the wide colors, and disco to the Danger game with 5% off all tie-dye shirts. Get your game tickets now at the Heartland Event Center box office, area Pump and Pantries, and on Ticketmaster. Danger football fueled by Pump and Pantry. DangerFootball.com.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. The first two games of the White Sox-Orioles series in Baltimore have been postponed because of safety concerns. 75% said, yep, that's a pretty good thing. Well, what looks like you guys fixed it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
We switched them. Yeah, they're both good.
Many people, we always have to yell at Merritt to come in here and fix things because he is the technological genius of our radio station. And he just... Well, we didn't really have a mic.
No, we didn't have a problem.
Randy and I just wanted to say congratulations.
Woo!
You ding dong.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell the world what you did yesterday?
Yesterday I took Amber out to the amphitheater. She's my girlfriend of probably the last 22 months, something like that.
She's not your girlfriend anymore, though.
And so I had...
There's an upgrade.
Yeah, I had a buddy and his wife sing a song, and I proposed, and so...
She's
officially my fiance.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
That's kind of a neat way of doing that. You put a lot more thought into it than I did. But just saying.
And he was so, just yesterday seemed like a normal day.
It did. Yep. I didn't know what was going on.
How long ago? Was yesterday?
There's planning. There's
was
planning
yesterday, was the day significant in any way?
No. She is going to see her family this weekend in Denver, so it would be another thing that she would get to be like, yay, look at what I have on my finger and everything like that. And so I knew that I wanted to do it before that weekend, and things lined up so that Sunday I got a phone call that said, hey, we should do this pretty soon. I'm like, yeah, we should. And so it worked out on Tuesday, so that's what we did.
Hey, man, good
congratulations.
Luck.
Thanks.
Well, our mics, there was no problem with them.
Yay.
We had to trick Merritt to get him in.
Otherwise, hey, we want to razz you about your engagement.
By the way, it's too easy because he knows stuff goes wrong in here all the time. So let's finish things up with our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Discussion has been made about the need for changing the designated hitter rule in Major League Baseball. So both leagues play by the same rules. This has been discussed time and time again, but it's come up again. Madison Baumgartner had a comment about it the other day. Randy, you're a baseball purist, I think. What do you think?
I think it's a nice middle ground, what we have right now, to be honest with you. The American League back in the 70s wanted to up scoring, so they decided to take away the time-honored tradition of having, you know, pitchers hit. And I do like the fact that, let's face it, what the Royals have kind of done in terms of throwing at people doesn't happen if they have to go up to a bat with a stick in their hand as well. How brave would Roger Clemens have been if he was going to have to do that in a National League park? But I'm not in favor of changing it. In fact, if you're going to change it so you're going to be steady, my opinion is I'd much rather see the pitchers hit. I think there's a lot more strategy involved in the game. And I know people are shaking their head, like as you are right now. People have kind of gotten used to that more offense, and I don't think that's the direction they're going to go. So as a National Leaguer, being a big Reds fan, I would much rather see the National League keep it than get rid of it.
Well, the NSAA, and I won't get back to that, Mitch Stein from Kearney High has just told me that the Kearney girls game against Lincoln High will be at 5 o'clock. Not 7, as the NSAA had put down. So it'll be at 5 o'clock on Monday. So that's what we've got there. They're 16-2. But back to this. I guess if you have a designated hitter, more guys can play pro baseball. Expand the roster by one spot so you're not deleting yourself from the pitcher. We have come to, let's face it, Randy, we've come to a spot where pitchers can hit. It's very special if one or two of them can.
I won't argue that.
It's fun. It's unique. It's a novelty. When they hit a home run, it makes SportsCenter. Let's just have DHs in both leagues. Let the pitchers pitch. They're already whiny enough. They can only go 5, 6, 7 innings. They can only go once every 6 days. Why make them hit?
Because it's part of the game. It's strategy.
The batting order has
the pitcher coming up here very shortly.
He's
been pitching well. Do you have him
hit
or do you keep him pitching? There's decisions that be made.
We're past that.
No, we're not.
We're past that. We've got 27,000 pitchers on our roster now. So they can make the changes anytime they want. They don't need.
You can make any roster change you want. You could have 4 pitchers on your entire roster if you wanted to.
Okay, well, so that's why we got the poll question. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. We disagree.
By the way, I'm in favor of expanding the rosters. There's no reason they can't. It's not like they can't afford another player, for crying out loud. Expand the rosters so you have a little bit more options out there. You got another bat on the bench.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that at all.
You can always vote on our Midtown Mart Cooler Question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Tomorrow, we are jammed and live at Bandits in Grand Island. We're getting ready for the Kentucky Derby. Steve Anderson will be my co-host, track announcer from Fauner Park. We will get analysis because they make the post-position draws later today. Michelle Yu, who's been all over the place as an analyst, is currently at Santa Anita. She has been a regular guest at this time.
Smart cookie.
We will have her with us tomorrow. We will also go to Las Vegas, the vice president of the MGM Grand, not only for the Derby, but obviously the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. Jay Rude will chat with us. We'll talk with Nebraska Danger coach Mike Davis and give you a chance to win tickets to the Danger game at home on Saturday. And Northwestern baseball coach Paul Stevens all tomorrow. Want to thank Husker catcher and Kearney grad Taylor Fish, UNK volleyball coach Rick Squires for joining us on the show today. And congrats to Merritt and Amber.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations to them. And happy birthday to my son, Grant.
He's 27 today.
Give or take 10.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Superstation Sports Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, a Sports Center update on ESPN. The Nebraska baseball team beat Creighton 7-6 last night at TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha. Ryan Bolt, Blake Edley, and Jake Schleppenbach.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.